Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
We're just all hanging out here, just wanting our sports, and you guys are still feeding it to us, so that's something I really appreciate.
You're one of the few socializing experiences I have in my life right now, so it's just good to hear your voice.
Thank you, guys. Bottom of my heart, all the Score hosts, for all you're doing. Really grateful to you.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Bears, 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 Bears. Football, football, football.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
What was your reaction to Dr. Alan Sills, the NFL's chief medical officer, saying widespread testing would have to be available before the reopening of the league could be contemplated? A departure from the confidence expressed by league VP Jeff Pasch that the season would go according to schedule.
I recognize that from what we're kind of seeing throughout the coverage of all this stuff. You have kind of one person stand up and give you aspirational ideas about when it will be over, and then they bring in the adult and you marvel at how bright some of the medical experts are. So I think there is a departure always from what people hope will happen and then what the reality of it is. I want to know exactly what we're looking at. I want to know if there will be a postponement or if there is uncertainty, because blind optimism can only go so far.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are scheduled to finally speak publicly for the first time in more than a month today in a teleconference. How do you think they will explain their quarterback depth chart?
It should be an upbeat occasion. It should be an occasion when you're talking about the Bears football team, where if I were advising Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, that you want to embrace all that comes with trading for Nick Foles, signing Robert Quinn, adding Ifedi, and doing everything to your roster that you did, even Jimmy Graham. That will be the most difficult question and the most anticipated one besides the quarterback situation, is why you paid the money and guaranteed him $9 million. But embrace the playoff idea. Start talking about a team that looks at last season as the exception to the rule, with the rule being this is a playoff team under Matt Nagy. This is a team with high expectations. That's what I want to hear.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's funny, David. I wonder, as we look at this, we know Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace will both be speaking publicly for the first time. We'll hear from the new quarterback. We'll hear from the defensive end. After last year and all the promises for Super Bowl, I want action more than I want words. I want to see this team win and not just talk about it.
Well, I don't think that they need to sound like they're, you know, got a Super Bowl or bust mentality, but I do think that what I am referring to when I say embrace the playoff idea is that there's got to be an understanding of just how much they underachieved last year, and that the playoffs are the standard. And, you know, we talk a lot about, well, with the new normal that we're all facing in society this week and this month and for this summer and moving forward, you know, the new normal for the Bears changed when they went 12-4. They should have, you know, they were talking Super Bowl, and we found out that they can't handle success. But I think now, to me, in sports, it's almost easier to respond to failure than it is to handle success, because that's what the Bears are in the midst of now. And I think that's what provides an opportunity. Molly, you know, the in every sport, every team you've ever been on, what has every coach ever presented it? Oh, there's adversity. We're all going to face adversity. It's not, you know, the adversity. It's how you respond to it. And now the Bears are in that sort of cliche situation. They've got to respond to a bad season by saying, we're going to get to the playoffs, and that's our expectation, and these are the moves that we have made to get us back there.
I got to tell you, of all the things that happened yesterday, and there's always news, things going on in the NFL, the one thing that stopped me cold that I couldn't believe, and I know that no one else feels this way, but the Dallas Cowboys signed Aldon Smith. And I literally, like, I was kind of walking past the TV. I had turned on some sports to just to monitor some things. And I saw mine, and my head, I nearly gave myself whiplash. I spun around and ran over and froze the screen and reread the headline. And I thought, am I seeing things? Like, is this humanly possible? Aldon Smith hasn't played football in 4 years, and he can make maybe $4 million. Remember this guy. This guy was what Leonard Floyd was supposed to be. This is the guy from the Niners that was this unbelievable, relentless pass rusher, unblockable, ran into a bunch of personal problems, ran into drug issues and not just substance abuse, but issues, you know, around the home and, you know, the whole, just a whole nightmare of bad things that go along with that. And I couldn't believe the idea that he could be back in the NFL.
He also was out of the league because of a DUI. Now, how do they deal with issues like that moving forward? And is it a guarantee that he is actually going to be eligible? Because, you know, it was 4 years ago. And even though it was 4 years ago, he's still only 30 years old, Molly. And that's why
that's
I think
incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
But that's a long layoff. Where's the precedent here? When has there ever been a defensive lineman as disruptive as he was and as good as he possibly still can be, have sat out 4 seasons? And here's the Cowboys are doing. They gave him a $2 million base salary. And this is not the minimum. This is like with the expectation that he's going to be a good player in that defense. That's incredible.
He obviously has to be active first, right? And there was like a spousal abuse issue. I mean, it's bad stuff that this guy did, and he was a very troubled person. But, I mean, he was a great player. And I couldn't believe his age, David, when I saw that. He'll be 31 when the season starts. He left the league in his prime and had a couple of sensational years. And what stunned me about it, if they cut him, right, if he doesn't even make the team, he's going to wind up with $440,000. So that's kind of, if he's activated, he gets $100,000. If he shows up at camp, he gets $100,000. The way the whole contract works, even if he doesn't make the team, he could walk away with $440,000. I mean, that's extraordinary to me for a guy that hasn't been in the league in that long.
Broader question, Molly. When you look at this move, it's the Dallas Cowboys, so by some virtue, it doesn't surprise anybody, and it shouldn't. It's Jerry Jones, and he has made concessions for talent for years. That's almost like a Cowboy tradition. But Mike McCarthy going down from Green Bay to Dallas, I don't know of many examples that stand out in my memory, and maybe somebody can jog it, but Green Bay historically has not made a lot of these kind of moves where it compromises on character for the payoff of somebody who would be, you know, a very productive player. This is the Cowboy way. This has not necessarily been the Packer way under, you know, anybody, but Mike McCarthy was in Green Bay for 13 years. How comfortable do you think he is with this move? Doesn't he have to be a guy fully on board with this?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Jim Tomsulo is the defensive line coach, and he coached Aldon Smith in San Francisco. So clearly he must have stood on a table for the guy. I think that's a great question, though, because the reality of life for Mike McCarthy is that Jerry Jones is not just the owner. He is the meddling owner. He is the general manager slash owner. He makes a lot of football decisions. He holds his own news conference after every game. It is going to be a different world for Mike McCarthy, coming from a place where there is no owner, where there is, you know, a lot of people believe the greatest situation in the league, where there is a group of people that own the team and there is representative ownership, but there's not the one owner that you have to please or can meddle in what you're doing or whatever it might be. The dream job, you know, that Samuel Beckett once said, the best of all possible plays is one in which there are no actors. You would argue that any football coach would say the best of all teams is one with no owner.
Exactly. Well, Mike McCarthy goes from one extreme to the other, though. And in working for Jerry Jones, you know, you seldom see new coaches in any sport who take on this kind of a challenge, because typically what the number one priority is to establish a culture in your locker room. The word culture is overused, but that's what you want to do. What do you stand for as a coach? What do you want to stand for as an organization? When you come into a new situation, and Mike McCarthy now with the Cowboys, what has happened in Dallas since he took over? Well, notably, Jason Witten has gone out the door. Randall Cobb has said goodbye. Guys who you think would fit in his character, fit in his offensive-minded sort of environment, and he's gone out and he's gotten a guy who has a hit and run and vandalism on his track record and hasn't played football in 4 years. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Dustin, you know how good this guy is. What happens after 4 years? What you know? We talked about this briefly yesterday. This is mind-boggling.
It is crazy. I totally agree. But if there was one position in the NFL where this makes sense, it's this position. See quarterback, get quarterback. Don't jump off sides. Just don't jump off sides and don't hit him late. We're not asking you to drop into a zone. If they happen to run the ball, do the best you can to stop the run. He's going to play an obvious – their defensive line, they also – they made another – interesting move. They brought another interior veteran in to that Cowboys defensive line. They could be really dangerous. I mean, there should be no excuses. On paper, stay healthy. The Dallas Cowboys are absolutely loaded as far as names on a roster. Now, will Jerry mess it up? Will Mike McCarthy mess it up? Is Dak Prescott that good? Is he ticked off at the situation? But as far as a player that hasn't played in 4 years, his job is just to be, Mully, you've talked about it, and I agree with you. You want a Wolverine? This guy's a Wolverine. See quarterback, get quarterback.
Out of Michigan?
Don't jump off sides.
I said Alden werewolf.
Smith. I don't know. Werewolf. I'm sorry. Werewolf. Wolverine, werewolf, whatever. Same difference.
Same thing.
Before you jump off sides, you have to be able to line up. And I don't know that he's going to be able to be in uniform.
Oh, David, you just stand around. There's no...
But no,
that's a whole other story.
Has he ever been punished for the DUI?
Who cares?
David, he's been out for 4 years. They're going to let him in. David, listen to me. If Dustin thinks you can get 4 sacks, how many do you think Alden Smith can get?
Oh, my God.
At least 10. And I stand by this. David could get 4 sacks in the NFL if he trained properly.
I love that.
Totally.
I love that challenge.
And I am not, and this is not a bit, I totally believe that.
That motivates me.
I thought about this yesterday. You know, David, in the first segment, I don't know if it was the first segment of the show, but at one point this morning, you mentioned the Packers Vikings, Brett Favre, Thanksgiving night, Lambeau Field game. Didn't you mention that?
I mentioned the Bears-Packers game was on last night, but so was the Vikings-Packers.
I watched Vikings-Packers. I watched Vikings-Packers. Mm-hmm. And if this league is really going in the direction that we have seen it go with the all the time passing, more passing than rushing. Now, I'm not saying that teams that run the ball haven't done well. They did this past season. They have done well. But might we see the offensive tackle like lose a little bit of weight? I was watching that game, and this big pile of man goo, Phil Lito, I can't remember his name. He was so bad. And Favre throws this unbelievable pass that would have been a first down. And this big pile of man goo that's like four times the weight of the Packers player, just grabs his face mask and rips him down to the ground because he had beat him. Because he had Clay Matthews had absolutely beaten him like a drum. Maybe the offensive tackles need to look more like tight ends instead of fat piles of man goo, the Michelin man. So we might see that change too.
Man goo.
I think we've seen a huge change in that. I think if you go and look at what's happened at the combine over the years, you'll see that. I mean, I think when
taller,
the 85 Bears,
longer, sleeker, it's unbelievable. Offensive tackles.
Yes, yes. And frankly, that's why I, as much as I love you, David, and respect you, I don't give you a chance at 4 sacks.
There's no shot I'd get 4 sacks.
No, no.
I couldn't get 4 picks either. I couldn't intercept 4 passes. I couldn't get 4 snaps.
Look, no, yeah, that's
I'm washed up. I'm way past my prime. Way
not
past
in
my prime.
Mind. In Dustin's mind, he could play center. He should have been the guy that took over from Olin. And you are the pass
rusher. No, let's get that right. Age-wise, I would have taken over for Hilgenberg. Olin would have taken over me. Had I been 6'2",
yeah.
I'd replace Hilgenberg, and he would have replaced me.
Okay.
Speaking of replacing guys in succession.
I would have let Urlacher have my number 54, okay? Oh, I would have let Urlacher have my number 54.
You know, Dustin, I watched a little bit of that Packers-Vikings game, too, because Favre was in it, and it caught my eye. But the one thing I couldn't get past was that was a long time ago, and Aaron Rodgers, I had to look twice to make sure that wasn't just last season. That guy never changes. I mean, really.
Change. When he's cleanly shaven, he just has a young, youthful look to him.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to bring in Ozzie Guillen. We'll talk to the former White Sox manager about David's potential as a defensive end. No, we'll talk to him about important things like Ed Farmer and his relationship with Ed and where that's at right now. Very sad day. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Ozzie Guillen.
I'm the captain of the boat.
Former White Sox manager.
I mean, I don't know how much payment I watch. Can I go to watch the All-Star game? Hell no.
Talking the latest around Major League Baseball. Ozzie Guillen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ozzie Guillen joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Ozzie. How are you?
Good morning, Ozzie.
Nice to hear your voice, sir.
It's great to great to talk to you. And, you know, it's a sad occasion, obviously. We've lost Ed Farmer. I thought it was a great job yesterday on the station. There was a lot of tributes to him, a lot of people talking about it. I know it hits you hard, Ozzy. I know that that you lost a friend yesterday.
Well, you know what? I'm the type of guy not get sensitive for too much stuff. I did yesterday. I tried to send a message that I could have finished it up. And I know Frank Mills saying, wow, I was a kid. We talk about a lot almost every day. You know, it's weird. When you hear Freddie Garcia calling me to talk to me about Farmio, you know how great Farmio was. You know, Freddie is the type of guy who lived his own life back home. And he sent me, he asked me if that was true. I said yes. And he continued to send me text message. And that hit me more because I said, well, knowing Freddie, how he is, and what you know, ask me about Farmio, that show you how important it is. Because in baseball, always, you're not going to like somebody. You know, I just say a couple of days ago, is that the day I die, some people go there be sad, some people be throwing a party. But when that happened to Farmio, you know me, first of all, I was very sad, but I was very happy about it too, because I know for a long time he's been dealing with this, with sickness and with his kidney, and he's always positive. I always, you know, he never complained about everything. You can see Farmio, I see Farmio a lot in bad shape, and I ask him, you okay? I say, yes, I'm fine. Oh, hey, let's go to play golf tomorrow. I know he couldn't do anything. And that's one of the saddest part about it. But Farmio teach me something, you know, to be positive, no matter how the consequences are going to be, or no matter how hard the thing is. And a lot of people know Farmio here just because it's the voice of the White Sox, but you don't know, people, they don't know. Everybody in the White Sox organization got hurt. Everyone, you know what I mean? Because as soon as Farmio walk into the ballpark, light up, you know what I mean? Say hi to everyone and talk to people. And he just, he was a so amazing guy. And the sad part about all this is just people start to say nice stuff about you after you pass. And that's why I think, you know, I keep in touch with Jerry Reiser for the last couple of days about him. And, you know, every little thing happened to him, they call me right away, send me a message, you know, Farmio's not doing good, Farmio's not working today. Or I don't hear Farmio on the radio, I text messages, people from the White Sox to see what's going on. That's how tight we was.
Ozzy, it was an emotional, heartfelt tribute you put on Twitter with a video at Ozzy Guillen and your Twitter feed, and I just felt like that said everything about how difficult this was, the process for you and for people that loved Ed Farmer. As a player, as a manager, your relationship with Ed, was it different, or was he pretty much the same guy through both of those stages of your career?
Well, same guy. I know, I remember Farmer was, he pitched in Venezuela, I faced him in AAA. I remember him was the scout from the Baltimore Orioles in the old Comiskey Park. And that's the only guy who was scouting in the umpire's room. And I walk in and talk to him about it. He talked to me about Musina, Ben McDonald, all those guys. I know him for a long time. And everywhere we walk in, you know what I mean? Then for a little while, I started working with the White Sox. It now was a different face. He's the same guy. And, you know, he was a lovely guy. People, you can talk to Farmio. I call Farmio when Google wasn't assist. Farmio was a Google for me. You know what I mean? He was Google. He was, like anything, you are Farmio. Say, where's the best restaurant? This one. Where's the best? You know. By the way, I still have a car from 1980, whatever, a Porsche, and that's the only time my wife don't like my decision, besides when I change a couple of pictures. And I still have it. I still have it. And I told my granddaughter when she was 1.5 years old, I will send that car for you. It's a Porsche 3.6. And he loves speed. He loves to have speed. I don't know how many tickets he have, how many times he talked to police. But I buy the car. I couldn't even drive stick car. And you know, I mean, I think in the time it was a bad investment because, you know, I really don't know how to drive your car, but I drive into Sarasota to the complex and I call Farmio, say, Farmio, check down. He go down and it feel like I was buying him a toys. I'm using it for a couple of days. It's how, you know what I mean? I don't know how he did it, but it, like whatever you need, whatever you need, he was there for, not just for me, for everyone. And you know, one day, can I say this real quick? One day, we play in Baltimore or we play Washington, and we on the runway, and the pilot told the stewardess to tell us, we're not leaving for 3 hours because the president plane or they closed that area. And our family asked me about it. Say, hey, no, we got to wait here because this particular thing. And family said, don't worry about it. He made a phone call. He did make a phone call. And we taken off in half an hour. We are on the air. And I don't know who is calling. I don't know who he was talking to. But that was amazing when family put off his bull crap and we leave. One day I play golf, and he got a beautiful shoes. I tried to find the same shoe for like a week. I give it to Austin Jr. to try to find it, and Joey Cora. And I told Famio, man, that's a nice shoes. I said, yeah, that's a $300 pair of golf shoes. I said, yeah, well, you like it? I said, I tried to find the shoe for the last couple of days. I said, don't worry about it, what color you want it. And next day, the shoes was in my office. You talk to a lot of people around the White House, so you will tell you the same stuff I'm telling you right now, because it was, no matter how bad the situation was, it was always was the same guy.
You know, it's amazing, Ozzy, because, you know, just thinking about Farmio and the way that he was around team. I mean, you know, he would wear baseball pants and he would sit there right in the, as you walked into the clubhouse. It was almost like his playing career just went on for another 30 years when he was done. You know, it was pretty extraordinary.
It's funny because, you know, he's sitting in my office every day. You know, obviously we got to do the Ozzie Guillen show or the Montez show. He's sitting there every day. And Ozzie Jr. was reminding me just to say, my God, can you believe you play when Farmer say, let's talk about the way we talk. And we're recording, and I was all over the players, calling names, and he called people names. And after we're done, we talk about, I was cursing, and that, you know, the way we want to do this for real. And he said, let's do this for real. And we start talking, and Nazi said, Dad, don't let that thing come out. I said, why? Because you're going to be out of the country. They will kill you. And finally say, no, you don't have to worry. I had it in a safe box. but he was the type of guy, you know what I mean? He's not show you his emotion. He's not Ozzie, at all. Yes.
You know, he's such a direct guy. He was so, you know, matter of fact. Did he criticize you? Would he tell you things, whether it was on the air or off the air, that you felt like was criticism? And did you take it differently from him because it was Ed Farmer?
No. When you're a manager, you learn from, I couldn't hear anybody. I can't hear Hulk criticize me because I was in the game. But I think everybody had the right to criticize you when they not think you do something wrong. But I will tell them, say, hey, listen, if you need to ask me why, don't go around. They ask me why, and then I explain to you, I might be right, I might be wrong, and that's how everything starts. But, you know, family, one day, a couple of days, family started talking about, well, you know, I had a phone call from the fan. And this is a question they asked me about. I said, family, why are you lying? You want to ask me. Just do it. And you go, no. I got a phone call. You want me to ask you what I'm going to ask you? I will ask you what I want to think. And we went on in the air and up the air, you know, but he get along with everyone. You know, he's sitting in my chair and next to me and in my office, and, you know, Cooper's coming, Joey coming, and we're just talking and all this stuff. You know, I mean, he's just a great guy to have around every day. I used to teach him. I said, you know, I mean, I think his daughter has the same age as me, maybe a little younger. And she was beautiful. I didn't see him for a little while. She was gorgeous. And I saw her one day. I say, oh, Farmio, you almost live in Venezuela. I said, why? I want to marry your wife and your daughter. Thank God you know I'm married. and he no like that one. You know, I told him, I just show this, that's your daughter. I said, what do you mean? I said, you have to be sure that you DNA her. I said, why? She's so beautiful to be your daughter. And all the stuff, you know what I mean? You can be talking about golf. You can talk about president. You can talk about oil. And he speaks Spanish very well. He talked to Uribe. He talked to Osuna. He talked to Conurco. And last night, or yesterday, they have a press conference. Mm-hmm. I think White Sox have a press conference. They text me and call me. And I go, I'm not going to get involved. Because I don't want to take the chance to the players, take that away from the player, how they feel about Farmio. And I told about Beto, I said, let the players do it. Let the players do it. I want the players to let people know how they feel about him. I don't want to give myself, any of the media want to know how I feel about him, make sure they call me. But in the press conference with the player, I think it was PK, JD, Persinski. I don't want to take opportunity away from the player to let the people know how they feel about farming.
Ozzie, thank you a ton. It's great to hear some of those stories, and I think we'll all miss Ed, and I know that the White Sox will find a way to honor him, and he'll be with us for a long time. Thank you.
Hang in there, Ozzie.
I talk to people. Say people forget. You know, when you die, people forget you. What the people don't care about you, but when you care about somebody, you have somebody in your heart. He never leaves. He always stay with you.
Well put.
That's absolutely right. Thanks again, Ozzie.
Thanks, Ozzie.
All right, guys. That, take care.
Good stuff. Take care of yourself.
That's Ozzie Guillen. Yeah, that is. It's we're talking about a guy and we're paying tribute to him and we're listening to some fun stories. But the undercurrent of it is, David, there's a real sense of loss here. You know, guys like Bruce, who we talked to, and Ozzie, and all the people you heard yesterday, it's awful. I mean, it's just a real sense of loss when you lose somebody. And he's right. You know, when they're in your heart, they stay alive. So that is something.
There's such an intimate connection between a baseball broadcaster and the audience. And so you double that when you're talking about a baseball broadcaster and the people that he's around on a regular basis, every day, year after year. And Ed Farmer became such a big part of the White Sox culture, as much as Hawk, as much as guys, as much as Ozzie, because this is their day after day, season after season. And that is, you're right, there's a void there that's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to fill.
All right, we're going to bring in our buddy Dan Pompey next. We've got a lot of NFL issues to go over. We'll talk to the Hall of Famer next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Pompey. Dan Pompey. With Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Sounds like there's a little echo in your basement there this morning, I think.
Uh-oh.
You think?
That's not possible.
I think it's the normal studio sound.
No, I'm literally in a closet here, pal. And, the old joke is I couldn't fit in the closet. How could I come out of one? But I am literally sitting here with blankets around me. I'm trying everything. If the echo is here, it's because my house is echoey, and so is my my closet. But how are you doing? How's the family? How's everything going, buddy?
Everything's great. I've got no complaints, other than a little boredom, which is nothing to complain about. Compared with what many people are dealing with. So just hoping for the best for everybody moving forward.
You know, Dan, you've been keeping busy writing some great stuff, and we've been talking a lot about, thank goodness for the NFL draft. It's 3 weeks from today the Bears will make their second round selections. 3 weeks from yesterday the draft starts, and obviously there's been a lot of conversation about whether it's tone deaf to have the draft go off on April 23rd, whether they should move it back. And then we heard yesterday in regard to the season from Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical officer for the league, talking about how things need to be in place. What are your thoughts on number one, whether or not the draft should be moved, and number two, what to expect in terms of a timetable for the upcoming training camps and season?
Well, with the draft, you know, I really don't have a problem with it being held now. I think it's a nice diversion for a lot of people, and it's something that kind of gives a lot of fans something to look forward to and something to pass their time with a little bit, which, you know, there's a value in that, I think, with what's going on today in the country. So is it going to be a different type of draft? Yeah, there will be challenges for teams. I think there will be opportunities for teams. And I know I've talked with some people in front offices who are trying to get kind of a little bit of an advantage over other teams to get on the cutting edge with technology and different ways to do things. And I think what was the quote from Rahm Emanuel? In every crisis, there's opportunity or something like that. Never let a good crisis go to waste, I think is what he said. But there is definitely opportunity in this for NFL teams. So I think that adds another layer of intrigue to what's happening. In terms of the season itself, I just think it's premature to really, you know, anything we're saying at this point is speculative because we don't know what the next month will look like, let alone August and September. So I think, you know, everyone wants to know and everyone wants to say something and hear something, but it's just all speculation right now.
Well, let's talk about the Bears in terms of roster building. As you look at this team and the way it is currently constructed, do you see any positional void that they really have to address come draft time? If you were, when Ryan Pace calls and asks where he should go, Dan, what will you tell him?
I won't be waiting by my phone for that call. But if it did happen, I would say certainly a cornerback to me is priority number one. And I think priority number two is a playmaker on offense, whether it be a wide receiver or a tight end. I know they've got like 42 tight ends on the roster, but I'm not sure you want any of them to be on the roster long term. So I think, if there's a good wide receiver or a good tight end there, that's something they have to consider strongly. And usually, you know, the draft is pretty strong in those two areas, cornerback, wide receiver, or tight end, in the second round where the Bears select first. So maybe that will work out well for them. I think the other thing, obviously, they need safety. They could use an interior offensive lineman as well. But they really, I think, are a little thin at those two positions that I mentioned initially.
Dan, my guess is you'll be plugged in this morning later when Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have a teleconference for the Chicago media. What do you expect them to say regarding their quarterback situation, or I guess what would you like to hear?
Well, I think what they're going to say, David, is that they acquired a player who they believe could provide competition for Mitch, and that there will be an open competition in training camp, and they'll let these guys go at it. I mean, it's possible they will say that Mitch is still the starter and that it's up to Nick to replace him or to beat him out. But I would think that they will at least go into it with that openness that either player can win, or at least publicly say that, or at least go in with that premise. So, I don't anticipate anything that's really shocking coming out of their mouths today. I think it'll probably be pretty much what everyone expects.
You know, I ended up reading his book, Believe It, Dan. Now, you wrote the book with Doug Peterson, obviously, and you think about what happened in Philadelphia, and you look at his career. Is that more aberration, or has he been kind of an on and off type of guy? Is he better coming off the bench? Do you think he would be better if he was given the job? I mean, what generally speaking, how do you appraise him?
Yeah, he's had a really interesting career. I think he's a good get for the Bears. I really do, because if you look at how he has performed when he's had the opportunity in the last few years of his career,
since he left St. Louis, it's been pretty good, with the exception of what happened last year, which was only four games really with a team that was kind of tail spinning out of control. And he was injured in the first game, then he came back, and he couldn't stop the bleeding with the Jaguars, which I don't know that many players could have. You know, if you're expecting him to come in here and lift an entire team, that's not going to happen. But I think if you've got a team that's humming around him, you know, you've got a good defense and you've got playmakers to throw to in an efficient running game, I think he can be a winning quarterback in the National Football League, and he's proven that. I mean, he has had some obvious very high points in his career, and he's had some low ones too. But I think there's some potential there. People tend to forget that last off season he was one of the most sought after, hottest free agents out there, and I think after four games, everyone kind of thinks, well, now he's trash, and I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's a good player for the Bears to get, especially given the parameters of what they wanted to do with that position.
Dan, we're at the point of free agency where teams are doing the equivalent of shopping off the clearance rack. I mean, whatever is the best deal out there for the value, they're going to probably maybe take a chance and put it in and see what they have. The Bears still have, I think, a need at cornerback. I think we've talked about that, and we were talking about the 5 at 5. There's some veterans out there that may have various range of prices, from Eli Apple, whose deal fell through with the Raiders, to Dre Kirkpatrick. There's some other guys out there. Even Mully floated the idea of bringing Prince Amukamara back at a different price. Do you think the Bears need to explore those possibilities for a veteran corner?
Well, they have brought in a veteran cornerback already in Artie Burns. So my suspicion is they will not go for another veteran cornerback, and they will now go for a young cornerback in the draft. They'll use a high draft pick on him, and I think that's what they should do. I think if you look at Ryan Pace's history, that's kind of what he has done in free agency when he's got a position where there is a hole. He's gone out and oftentimes gotten kind of a potential Band-Aid veteran, a guy who is maybe on a second or third contract who is not the most sought after, most expensive free agent out there. You could get him on a 1-year deal, and then he'll go and try to get a long-term answer in the draft, or get at least create competition between the veteran and the rookie. And I think that's probably the smart thing to do at the cornerback position. Although the other thing is, you can never have enough good cornerbacks. We all know that. Because so many teams are attacking defenses with multiple wide receivers, and that you also face things like injuries and slumps at the position that require you to have depth. So, if they were to sign another veteran at this point, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but I think it makes more sense to not muddy up the waters and to be able to give a young player to draft a young player and then give him an opportunity to compete and play.
Dan, I think it's very interesting. Your colleague Mike Sando at The Athletic wrote a thing where he talked to people around the league and kind of evaluated everyone's off-season program. And the one thing that jumped out to me was the idea that people seem to believe that Trey Burton will be on the roster, and that Jimmy Graham and Trey Burton will be a good combination, because Burton's done better when he hasn't been the man, but when he has been in a kind of backup position. And I think a lot of people felt they could pick up $1 million if they were to cut him, and they might do that. But when I read that, I thought it actually makes more sense than letting the guy go. If he can stay healthy, he can be an effective player.
Well, certainly. I mean, it's kind of like Mitch Trubisky. They really thought highly of this guy, and they're going to be slow to lose that conviction in him, just like they have been slow to lose the conviction in Mitch Trubisky. And, the thing is, he's had a lot of health issues. If he can stay healthy, I'm sure it's easy for them to justify to themselves that,
you know, maybe he can become the player that he was. And the other issue is, you know, how much can you count on Jimmy Graham? I mean, are you completely certain that this is a guy who's going to start 16 games and, you know, produce like the Jimmy Graham of old, or produce like you want your you tight end to produce? So, you know, whatever they've done at the position up to this point hasn't been good enough. So, you know, I think if the position is as important to them as they continue to tell us through their words and actions, then, you know, it might make sense to have more options than just Jimmy Graham playing the position in 2020.
Dan, before we let you go, Molly and I were having a conversation about how surprised we were at the signing of Aldon Smith by the Cowboys. He's been out of the league for 4 years. Now, when he was healthy, he was dominant, and we all remember how good of a pass rusher he could be. But he's got a lot of baggage. He's got a lot of he's got a DUI he has to overcome. He had some other issues that were troubling. How surprising is it to see a player come back after a four-year layoff? And I guess even attached to that idea is, how surprising is it that Mike McCarthy would be the head coach of a team that takes on such a player?
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, you know, Mike McCarthy of the Packers probably was a different Mike McCarthy than the Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys is going to be. And I'm sure this is a decision that probably is made certainly by people in addition to Mike McCarthy, most notably Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. But it's, you know, it's probably a low risk deal for the Cowboys. You know, they take a chance on a player who could potentially give them high reward if he's anywhere near the player that he was back when he was in his prime. And, you know, they're not giving up a lot for him in terms of money or compensation. So, you know, it's a chance to get a guy. But, yeah, someone asked me yesterday, you remember a guy being out of the league 4 years like that and coming back? And I said, yeah, well, you know, I do. Bronco Nagurski was out of the league for 5 years in the late 30s and early 40s, and he came back. I don't know that it's happened since then. So yeah. It is clearly something that's unusual and a one of a kind. So we'll see how it works out. Hey,
Dan, did you cover Nagurski?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bronco.
nice
spent many hours with Bronco standing by his locker and,
that we used to do that with Dave Manthe. You know, hey, what was he like in high school, Dave? I mean, that's all right, great stuff as always, Dan. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay,
hang in there.
Guys.
Stay safe.
You too.
All right, that's our guy, Dan Pompey, the Hall of Famer, Franco Nagurski. Yeah, I forgot about that. This didn't seem to slow him down.
No.
I like that idea, though. You know, I think Dustin, that was great wisdom there. It's the position. All he is a pass rusher. You don't have to learn anything. Okay, go. Now get the ball. Go. Hit the guy. Go.
Molly,
get the quarterback.
You're right. Dustin's right. But I would have more concern about Aldon Smith getting from his apartment or house to the stadium than it would be for him getting to the quarterback. Okay. That'd be my reservation.
Oh boy. That's something special. All right. We're going to bring in Olin next. We'll talk some football with our guy, Olin Kreutz, next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.